You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
No, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 200th edition of Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. Here we are at the start of our 200th show. Tech Talk Radio first hit the airwaves in December 2004, and in the past 4 years, hopefully you found us to be informative and entertaining in what we believe is Australia's longest-running, non-commercial, independent magazine-style radio show. In the life of Tech Talk Radio, we've seen lots of technology develop and grow, fads come and go, people hired and fired, and companies evolve and dominate. Suffice to say, globally, we've had some major technological and business achievements and some challenges too. But locally, we've had our own dilemmas and frustrations based on governments and regulations. But still, the ever-changing landscape of the technological revolution continues to push forward relentlessly, taking no prisoners. The past 4 years in Australia has seen a change in government, resulting in a new school of leaders taking the reins. Our regulators, both government and non-government, are trying to keep up with the changing face of technology and protect the rights and hip pockets of consumers from would-be organisations who take advantage of the Luddites amongst us, which is really most of the population. And when I say Luddites, I don't mean 19th century English workmen who destroyed labour-saving machinery that they thought would cause unemployment. I mean the 21st century accidental technology users who just don't care to learn anything about technology. They use it because they have to. One thing that hasn't changed much in the 4 years of Tech Talk Radio is the state of the nation's broadband. Now, I'm not going to bang on about it, but you have to agree that the digital divide has never been greater, unless you have very deep pockets or live in a metro area of one of Australia's larger cities. Despite the election promises and a change of government on Saturday, November 24, 2007, the yet-to-be-built national broadband network, which promised 12 megabits per second to Australian households, now seems slow and inadequate when it comes to future-proofing Australia's digital future. The highlights of the past 4 years have been many. Our guests have ranged from knowledgeable individuals who are passionate about technology to the movers and shakers of international high-tech companies. But the one thing that has made Tech Talk Radio into what it is today is the encouragement and participation of our listeners, both from regulars and one-off correspondents we receive each week. It's a cliche, I know, but without you, our listeners from all over the world, we wouldn't be doing what we do now. After all, no one receives a cent for what we do, only you do in the form of giveaways. And today, our 200th show is no exception. So if you're listening to us live, stick around for what will only be another gripping installment of the show that is Tech Talk Radio.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
In these times of global economic uncertainty, the Apple empire is up to its old antics and then some. Microsoft extends XP's life. Samsung launches Australia's first commercially available LED TV. Australia's consumer watchdog, the ACCC, gets heavy with our telcos. And Telstra blames the Spam Act for impersonal tweets. What next? First up, here's the latest happenings from the Tech Talk News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, rumours abound over Apple closing its iTunes music store. Sol Trujillo pumps up his own tyres in London. Government data centres cause power supply concerns. Telstra faces a Twitter backlash. And Queensland police help lock up a 419 scammer. Welcome to Tech Talk News. In a shock announcement by Apple last week, the popular iTunes music store could become a thing of the past as copyright wrangling with record labels becomes too much for the computing giant. A decision by the Copyright Royalty Board in Washington will decide whether music producers receive more money from songs bought from online stores, including iTunes. The world's largest music producers are represented by the National Music Publishers Association and are demanding a 66% increase from 9 cents to 15 cents per track. Apple opposed the changes in a letter to the Royalty Board last year and has since refused to discuss the matter, meaning the threat of closure remains a strong possibility. Mr. Eddie Q, Vice President of the iTunes online store, said last year that if iTunes was forced to absorb any increase in royalty rate, the result would be to operate at a financial loss, which Mr. Q said was not an alternative. Instead, the 66% increase would be passed on to consumers, or Apple would reassess the future of iTunes. Telstra CEO Sol Trujillo last week heaped glowing praise on the company's transformation from telco to media communications company, pinning its turnaround on his arrival in 2005. Mr. Trujillo described the transformation at the London Financial Times conference as a work in progress. Mr. Trujillo added that Telstra had already proven its success by delivering world-leading performance. According to Australian IT News, Mr. Trujillo said that in July 2005, Telstra was a business in dramatic decline, losing traction with customers and getting beaten by competitors. And he went on to say that Telstra had to avoid the downward plunge and get things moving in the right direction. Mr. Trujillo also said that while Telstra was the biggest telco in Australia, it had lost its position as a technology leader and market innovator, and that only 2% of revenue was coming from products less than 3 years old. The Australian government's distributed data centre strategy could put undue stress on Canberra's electricity grid, according to the Vice President of Citrix Australia. A British energy efficiency expert, Mr. Peter Gershon, submitted his review of government procurement practices to Canberra and has called for a consolidated approach to data centre management. Mr. Gershon warned the current arrangement for the government's 50 data centres would cost an extra $1 billion over 15 years to manage. But Mr. Rob Willis, Vice President of Citrix Australia, said that any consolidation of government data centres would be a huge challenge, as cutting the number from 50 to just a handful would have a severe effect on the electricity grid. Mr. Willis said the two main areas of concern were heat dissipation and power consumption. The federal government is currently considering all aspects of the report tendered by Mr. Gershon. Telstra Big Pond's foray into Twitter has been widely criticised by social media experts, and even the ISP's own customer service staff, and now even appears on the radar of mainstream media. Following last week's discussion by Tech Talk radio panellists and references made on Lydia Davis's very own Blogwell, other social networking experts have also observed the impersonal, automated Twitter responses from Telstra and criticised the telco for completely misunderstanding the medium. Twitter is a micro-blogging service which allows users to quickly broadcast status updates to anyone interested. Telstra has been criticised for using the same responses to multiple Twitter users and has angered social networking experts who criticised the telco for not openly engaging the community. Telstra's social media representative, Mr. Peter Habib, responded by criticising the community that Telstra is trying to engage. According to IT News last week, that response drew a stinging rebuke from Blogwell's Lydia Davis, who said, "Having a go at you is not what I did here. Trust me, you would have known if I had." Despite the criticism, the Twitter feed has attracted about 80 followers so far, prompting Mr. Habib to suggest that Telstra's foray into microblogging was a success. And a 23-year-old Nigerian man has been arrested after allegedly using a fake female profile on a dating website to defraud a man in Queensland of $20,000. The Nigerian man was arrested and charged with fraud by the Nigerian Economic Financial Crimes Commission last week. He is alleged to have targeted a 45-year-old Queensland resident by posing as a female on an online relationship website and convincing the man to send money. Queensland Police Service Fraud and Corporate Crime Group Detective Superintendent Brian Hay said there had been 10 arrests to date as a result of a joint sting operation conducted with the Nigerian authorities. Detective Superintendent Hay said that people who responded to emails were added to a so-called sucker list that could be accessed by other criminals. A recent victim of fraud was a 73-year-old pensioner from central Queensland who had lost thousands of dollars in two separate scams. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this 200th episode of Tech Talk Radio.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
200 Tech Talks.
200 Tech. Are you coming?
I'll let you know. Yeah. Am I invited?
That's the attitude, isn't it?
Did you ask you for a fax number? You would have...
He did want it faxed back to him.
Oh, no! No! Right. Engine used to be so good. What happened to Engine?
I don't know.
It's gone downhill,
hasn't it? I don't know. That's good coming from you. You're a bit of an audiophile.
I'm a bit of an audiophile.
Really good, that's
yep.
good.
So to convert all of IP4 into one little subnet of IPv6, you just put this one prefix on the front of it.
It's painful. It's like pulling teeth.
A Perth man won $120,000 in a Google competition.
Got under a goat.
Got under a goat.
Got under my goat too.
Anything's got to be an improvement over Windows Mobile.
Why do you speak so highly of Windows Mobile?
Because I use it.
Okay.
Our operators are standing by.
Have a good look at your corporate communications.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's great. Yeah.
Go MySpace. Literally, go.
Go.
Get in here. Go.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And a very good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the 200th edition of this Tech Talk Radio program. This little show that started off as a good idea at the time and has festered into something, well, here we all are. Graham, how are you this evening?
Well, thanks, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for making it to our 200. And Adam's here as well. Good evening, Adam.
Evening, all.
And now we'll be silent as the rest. Oh, hang on a sec. I forgot the most important person, and she's joining us today, if I can push the right button up. Lydia Davis, are you there?
I am.
Hello. Lydia has joined us here in the studio live.
Live from Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley in California. It's very nice for you to be in our ears, Lydia. Live is, what, 2 a.m. for you?
It is 2 a.m, so it's very exciting.
That's good.
Listening to this.
This is the first time you've actually joined us live, really, isn't it? So welcome aboard. You've come across on many MP3 files, but now here we are physically in the studio. Sorry. The boys are cracking a tinny on the other side. No, just kidding. Anyway. But thanks for coming along. What's it like in California at the moment, just out of curiosity?
Oh, dark and cold.
We can hear the crickets in the background.
But no, California's as wonderful as always. Bad food, bad reception and bad internet, but
well, it's
still
holding up all right tonight, really. Anyway,
sorry,
it's holding up all right tonight. So far, so good. Anyway, if you're listening to us live, come and have a chat to us on chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Lydia's there too. Everyone's on the blog this evening. Dr. Ron will be in allegedly shortly. He's been held up with professional reasons, and JD will be calling in very shortly too. So a full contingent in, hopefully, this evening on Tech Talk Radio for what is our 200th show, and we've already got the coffees out, thanks to Adam. It's been absolutely terrific. So anyway, sorry, he's pointing at me. What? Mention the cupcakes. Mention the cupcakes. These cupcakes, we... see, that's why you need a piece of paper. Hey, we've got these great cupcakes. Lid, I think I mentioned them to you before. They're lovely little chocolate cupcakes with the number 200 on it, and they come with coffee. Or does the coffee come with the cupcakes? I'm not sure.
And they're fresh and they're warm.
They are. Thank you to Mrs. Adam for doing the cupcakes. That's very, very nice of you. And we'll indulge in those very shortly. We've got little 200s on them too. And that's not all. Tonight, we're going to be giving away a hard drive to some of our listeners who are on the chat. So if
giving
you want
away a hard drive?
If you want a Mac to a hard drive.
Not one of Dr. Ron's old ones.
He promised he didn't change it over.
Brand new Mac Store.
Brand spanking new Mac Store hard drive. 750 gig, I believe. We're going to give one of those away to a lucky person who is on our chat tonight. We'll work out how we're going to do that very shortly, but nonetheless. Upward and onward for our show 200. Let's do a bit of reminiscing. What's been the highlight, Graham? Can you think that I'm throwing this at you? What's the highlight of the show?
Because
you've been involved with us probably for 2 or 3 years of our 4 years online. Which
has been that long?
It's been that long,
wow.
Yeah. Have you had a highlight? What's the exciting part about?
Lots of highlights, I think. Lots of Dr. Ron's odd spots have been...
oh, he's a laugh a minute, isn't he?
Fascinating, yeah. I don't know. There's, It's just all been a lot of fun. It's good to come in every week and talk about technology.
The dinner party up near Sol's apartment.
That was fun.
That was fun, wasn't it?
With the tinkling of glasses in the background.
Yes.
One other thing I really enjoy about it is you get to speak to a lot of people, movers and shakers, individuals and large people who run organisations. I think the highlight for me was speaking with Eugene Kaspersky probably about a year or so back. He's the man behind Kaspersky Antivirus and lives and works in Russia. And that was good. I was given half an hour to have a chat to him about his latest goings on and what he was doing.
And you spoke to him for an hour, didn't you?
Absolutely. From the school of KGB, you don't get an opportunity to chat to people like that every so often. And I think that was probably one of my highlights of Tech Talk Radio to date.
That has been one of the good things about the show is the number of people like that who have come on and supported the show. Microsoft have sent people to come and talk to us, and as you say, Eugene Kaspersky himself came on the show by phone, and people in from various places, and that's really good to get direct information from some of the big companies that we deal with in technology.
Yeah, Adam, your couch has had a lot of views from it of recent times. To me, your midlife crisis was probably one of the highlights when that went through.
That was an interesting week.
Since then, you've had a lot of other things that have happened to you, like you've moved house, you've played many wars with many telcos over the course of time. Anything stand out for you in the past, two or three odd years and stuff like that that you've sort of seen?
Well, the view from the couch with the five-hour screaming match with Telstra and Optus was fun. That was cathartic. Is that the right word for it?
It's one of many, suspect you could describe it.
I like the one where I think it was you and Dr. Ron went bush bashing. Now, there's a better name for it than
The fox hunting thing.
Yes, the fox hunting GPS thing. That was really interesting. I think I was listening to that in the car when I was driving somewhere.
Things that people do with electronics.
Yes, that was very interesting.
Well, it just goes to show, really.
There was an argument about going straight ahead at a T intersection.
That's right. See, it's the things that will come back out to you. Lyd, you're over there. Any great highlights? Because you've brought us a lot of interesting discussions with the Google boys and even Eugene. You set Eugene up for us. That would have been a challenge. What's your highlight?
Oh, she's gone.
Oh,
her highlight was posting me my iPhone.
Oh, yes, she did do that. She's disappeared. Anyway, hopefully she'll come back very shortly.
We'll find it.
She says she's there, but
the
she's
internet
not.
Internet fell off.
Is that what happened?
Must have done.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully she'll come back very shortly.
Hers? Yeah, she's always saying
she's in California.
Well, she's
in California.
How dodgy the internet is over there, yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe she'll come back shortly, but anyway, it says the call's still in progress, nonetheless. All right, other interesting things that have happened this week. Well, everything's sort of on the simmer at the moment, I think. My exciting news, which we'll talk about later on too, is as Adam talked about on the couch last week, the new range of television sets that are coming out with Cat 5, the odd toaster I hear too.
Yeah, Ethernet in the back, yep.
Ethernet in the back of absolutely everything. It's going to make, what do you reckon? It's going to make fantastic lounge room media watching so much easier, isn't it?
It just depends on how nicely it plays with everything else. I've got one coming, and I've also got, I think I've got a Panasonic or some other television out in the shed that's got it in it as well. So I want to try that with a PlayStation 3 because in theory they should all play nicely together, but we've heard that so many times.
Yeah, but as you said last week, isn't it because you stick to one brand and you've got half a chance.
Well, that's the thing. You've got to stick to one brand. But rather than putting Ethernet in it, while Ethernet in the television is exciting, it then locks you in probably to the services and the products of whoever you bought the television from. So you probably, depending on what you want to do, you might be better off with a set-top box with Ethernet plugged into your television.
Set-top box with
Ethernet. Like an Apple TV, for example. Not that I'm a, Apple TV.
I know your
problems,
thoughts on that.
But that's Ethernet to your TV via another box, and that lets you do Apple things, whereas if you went straight into your TV, you wouldn't be able to do Apple things. If you go through the Apple TV, you can't do Sony things. So you sort of got to decide whose camp you want to be in and then sort of approach it that way.
Well, I guess, what do you need in the living room? You need a remote control that controls everything. Mm-hmm. You need a television that displays everything. Yeah. You need a gaming console so you can relax. Yeah. And you need a hi-fi system, really. Is that
surround sound.
Yeah.
A high-definition projector, drop-down screen, subwoofer, two rear channels, and because you want to do the good, like a Blu-ray player.
You paid
with
well.
The good sound. better than when I worked for a newspaper. Let's just put it that way.
Good, yeah. No, it's just, yes. I don't know about the drop-down screen and the projector.
The kids would swing from that, I
reckon.
That's on the roadmap. I hired a Wii on the weekend for the first time.
A Wii?
Yeah, my son and I played Mario Kart on the Nintendo Wii.
Oh, did you?
It was very cool.
On the big plasma, on the big telly?
Yeah, on the big telly.
Yeah. Awesome. That'd be very good. I was watching, speaking of computer games today, a colleague of mine who has one of the new iPhones was showing a helicopter game, and it uses the left, right, up and down movement of the iPhone to actually play the game. So heaven help you if you're sitting in the train, the plane, the whatever, and someone bumps you and you're in that critical moment where you're trying to move your iPhone.
I've got Crash Bandicoot Racing on my iPhone, and again, my son loves it.
Oh, what's that?
It's just car. It's like Mario Racing, except it's not Nintendo. So it's some other guy whose name is not Mario, but is very like Mario. But you tilt the phone side to side to make it steer. It's pretty cool.
It is.
And it means a 4-year-old can play it because he doesn't need to know any complex buttons or anything like that.
He just wiggles things around.
He just wiggles things around.
I think that's amazing. Anyway, all right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron may be in later this evening. JD's going to be passing by, but you've got Graham Callaghan, Adam Turner, and myself, Andrew McComb, and Lydia Davis, live from the United States, is on chatting away there. But anyway, we'll try and resurrect that in the break. In the meanwhile, browser metrics, Internet Explorer slide continues, and Firefox user updates are a dime a dozen at the moment. Every time I log on to Firefox, I get a new version lately.
Sometimes they go up a big number, though.
Yeah, sometimes they do come in bunches because, one fix breaks something else, and then there's a couple.
Is that what happens? Track.
Sometimes that's the way it goes with software, but it'll settle down.
Chrome? Are you a Chrome user yet, Adam?
Haven't touched. Well, I'm on the Mac primarily.
That means you're excluded from the majority.
I'm not really interested in it because even if I was on a PC, Firefox on any platform does pretty much what I want. So why would I change browser just for the sake of it to use a browser that actually has less features and is less tested and less supported?
I thought the same thing. And then I installed it.
I have used it for 5 minutes on someone else's computer.
The more I'm using it, the more I like it.
It is nice to use. Yeah. The user interface is nice. You know, things go away that you don't need. Things come back when you need them. You know, it's nice and easy to use without giving it much thought. And it's fast.
Some people would also have plugins that they would want to use. I would think maybe Firefox and Chrome might be able to share some plugins after a while if they're based on the same...
Well,
source code. I don't know if they are.
It is open. They're not based on the same source code. Yeah. The Chrome is based on Apple's browser WebKit.
Yeah.
But they are both open source, so it is possible that even if Google don't put plugins in, that other people will figure out how to do it.
Is Google Gears out for Chrome? I would imagine it would have been out of the box.
Not that I know of.
No, I don't know.
Some people would want Google Gears.
Some people
will. Or AdBlock
Plus.
Or a lot of the other plugins in Firefox.
And that's right. There's no plugins in it at all. That's right.
Well, for some people, that's a deal breaker right there.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
For me, it's not. For me, it's nice that the browser's fast. I've still got... I've got about four browsers.
You've
got
to have at least two browsers on your computer.
You do.
Because then you can test services by logging in as two different people in two different browsers and talking to each other. I do that all the time.
Yep. That's quite true.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes, well, the Microsoft Internet Explorer continued to lose its market share, would you believe, in September.
That easily.
Yes, and I know IE8's just on the never-never land at the moment. I haven't seen it. The beta keeps coming out and all that sort of stuff.
So I've got the beta installed on my machine. Oh, is Lydia back?
Lydia's back. Lydia,
can you
there?
Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you back. Excellent.
Yay, I'm back.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. Did you push the wrong button or was it us?
I thought it was you.
Yeah, could have been. There's lots of buttons here to press. That's the joys of technology.
Studio's full of them.
Absolutely. Now, we were just talking about Microsoft Internet Explorer, i.e. continuing to lose its market share. Google's Chrome stabilized under 1%, and more than half of Firefox 2.0 users accepted an offer to update to version 3. So that's where we're standing in the web stakes side of things at the moment. So that's obviously, Google Chrome, I think it's potentially an option, especially with... I guess what they're trying to do with their Android, maybe we'll see Chrome come out on the Android.
That's what I couldn't figure out, why Google would bother to come out with a browser. And then I thought about Android, and that's when it makes sense, because they need a browser for Android. I haven't used Android yet, but I'm assuming there's a mobile version of Chrome in Android.
There would have to be.
So that's
there
why.
There is.
Yeah, well, that's what... there's not. I think that Google shouldn't be wasting their money on Chrome. They should be putting their money behind Firefox. And then... supporting Firefox and using the money to develop other services like improve Google Docs and stuff like that.
Google do support Firefox as well.
But that's what I'm saying. But so why come up with a competitor? But then when you bring Android into it and think, well, they're going to need a mobile browser anyway, then it makes a bit more sense as to why they had to come up with a browser, because I don't think there's a mobile version of Firefox. So rather than support a mobile version of Firefox. They've now built the one browser, and maybe like Safari, they're going to try and have the same browser experience on the phone and the desktop. Because Safari on an iPhone is the best browser experience by far, but I haven't used Chrome on Android yet, so I don't know.
How is your iPhone going, out of curiosity?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, you happy with it?
Yeah, most of the time.
You're, what, a month or so down the track now? And
oh, no, more than that, six. Hey.
Really? Oh, that's right, because Lyd sent one over, didn't
you? Yeah, but I already had one before that. Okay. It just wasn't mine. Now, I just cut Graham off.
I was just going to say, I think there'll be a lot of features and code go backwards and forwards between Firefox and Chrome over the next couple of years, and the projects will come closer together.
Which is good for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I think the existence of Chrome will make Firefox better, and the existence of Firefox will make Chrome better. So, it's... yeah, you'll watch them come together over the next couple of years.
Yes, well, I'm looking to get a new device too very shortly, and Adam's brought in his N96 tonight for me to have a play with. But there's also new Nokia Tubi things coming out, which I think they've renamed during the course of the week as well, which we might talk a bit later on. JD joins us in the studio. JD, welcome to the 200th edition. I'm glad you could make it.
Congratulations, everyone, for 200 shows. That's fantastic. I've almost got a voice today.
Have you? Yeah, no, you've been very flu-ridden for the last few weeks, haven't you?
I have, and I've tried to spare you all. I've been able to type a little bit on the forum, on the chat.
Yeah, no, you're sounding a little different, put it that way. Anyway, rest of the voice. Adam's brought in some 200 chocolate cakes, which he's just offered you there.
Oh,
yeah,
I was just showing you
very good. With the champagne and the seafood.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hey, Lydia, if you can hear us at the moment, have you seen much of the Google phone yet, or heard much gossip in the industry in the States there about where it's heading and what it's doing and who's using it?
Well, I've heard that the pre-ordering of it's sold out, and that there's some interactive place online where you can play with it, but it doesn't really do much in terms of interactivity. But for that, you spin it around. Have you seen that?
I haven't really seen much about it at all, to be quite honest. What do? You spin it around and it does things,
well,
does it?
There's a site. They've just released a site yesterday or today where you can go and have a play with it and, you know, spin the phone around, look at the back of it, look at the front of it, press buttons and see how, you know, messages appear and how emails appear. Yeah, so I looked at it, but it's nothing flash. But I wouldn't mind trying the phone. I think the idea of it's very good, that it opens it up to all developers. But interestingly, I suppose Apple have sort of now started letting developers talk amongst themselves too, haven't they?
Well, yes, I think so, haven't they? JD, you know about that?
Well, apparently they've boohooed their non-disclosure agreement so that developers can talk to each other. I don't know that they can talk to the public, though. That's
at least to each other is a start.
That's a start, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Is the Android going to kick in with the Apple phone? There's a Freudian slip, isn't it? With the Google phone? Is it going to take off, do you reckon?
I think it's a different market altogether, the Google phone. So suddenly you've got all these geeks that have you know, this thing they want to develop, and, you know, Google's going to let them, Android's going to let them do that, whereas Apple, you've got to go through this whole hoopla to be able to do that. So I personally think, yeah, it's a different market. So slowly.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I don't think anyone over here knows anything about it yet. None of the telcos have been talked to by any of the... I think it's HTC handset that they're talking about. So,
yeah, it is. I think Lyd's right. Google know how to treat developers properly and stuff like that. Apple know how to screw everybody.
Speaking of Apple, there was an interesting thing in a French newspaper this week, according to a French newspaper, that a range of Apple's desktop computers are emitting toxic gases that could give some people nasty diseases. How's that for rumour and scuttlebutt? Maybe if you're...
I think I've met those people.
Have you? Yeah, if your processor overheats or something like that. Yes, noxious fumes coming from your Mac. One other interesting... Yeah, sorry?
Just before you go away from that, Greenpeace run a report every 3 months. Do you know about this?
No, do tell.
Okay. It's a report. It basically talks... What do they do? It's called The Guide to Greener Electronics, and the last one came out middle of September. And it basically ranks the top, you know, 18 manufacturers of personal computers, mobile phones, et cetera, according to their policies on toxic chemicals and recycling, stuff like that. But Apple's always had a tough time with...
according to Greenpeace?
Yeah. They do this report every 3 months. It's a quarterly report. You should have a look at it. It's quite interesting because it tells you exactly what Apple are doing and what they're promising. Like, they're promising to get rid of all the arsenic by the end of, 2008 that they use.
Yeah, and, but you know, is it just Apple or is it all of the manufacturers in general?
No, there's 18 that they look at. and report on.
But I think Apple's been classified as the worst for a long time. I think Apple and Greenpeace hate each other's guts.
Interestingly, Microsoft's not better. It's actually worse than Apple, which is surprising to me. I would have thought they'd put in,
as a software
Billy
company,
would have looked after them. Mm.
Okay.
But yeah, well, it's an interesting report to see. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, if you can find the web thing, let us know. We'll put it to air tonight while we're live to air. That'd be good. Another interesting thing too this week in respect to we were talking about the living room before. Australia's first LED TV has been launched by Samsung. Have you seen this one yet, Adam, at all?
No, I thought Sony had something similar. I'm sure the Sony televisions I looked at last week. Oh, is this OLED as opposed to LED backlight?
The Series 9L uses technology called LED smart lighting, which Samsung says produces brighter, vibrant colours and premium picture quality.
This sounds like the same thing that Sony said to me last week.
Good.
They all say the same thing. They just give it a different name and put a different spin on it. But yeah,
so where do consumers stand?
What Paul Colley was telling me last week.
Now, Paul Colley's the head of Sony
Consumer Communications or something like that, yeah. Basically, it gives them more flexibility in bringing up the backlight and dimming the backlight. Because the problem with LCD is it's got a bright light at the background all the time. And when they want to make it black, they've got to try and cover that light up. Whereas plasma's black to begin with, and then they make a light. So plasma does blacks much better than LCD. But with these LCDs with the LED backlight, they've got a lot more control over the backlight, so they can dim it down and do all these kinds of tricks with it, so the backlight's not as bright, which means you can make better blacks and get better contrast.
Yes. And we need a bit of contrast. I was just discussing that today in our professional life that some of the cameramen just don't give you enough contrast. But anyway, that's another story altogether. It's interesting.
Can't you fix that in your magic boxes afterwards?
Yeah, we can. We can crucify anything.
Now, just to go back a previous topic, the best way to find that report that Lydia was just mentioning is to go to Google and type Greenpeace Greener Electronics, because if you try to find it on the greenpeace.org website, it's a hideously long URL.
We'll go to our forum right now.
I put the link in the chat room.
Sorry, good. The chat, not the
okay,
forum.
So it's w.greenpeace. And there's dots there. But anyway, we'll put it up on our site later on. But there was something there I was going to read out before too. But anyway, maybe it's scrolled off my screen now. I think it has. All right, so yes, LED TVs launched in Australia, which by all manufacturers. When is the OLED stuff going to come out? Have you heard?
I don't know.
Samsung are talking about something currently, aren't they?
Well, I don't know whether that's OLED, as
Didn't
Adam was
Sony
just saying.
Didn't Sony put out one, like little tiny ones in Japan, 14 inches or something, just as a proof of concept?
Maybe. I haven't seen any.
Something
maybe.
Like that.
Microsoft grants Windows XP another stay of deletion.
Again.
Again, because they can, and because I think the users have said no.
How many last meals is this OS going to have?
Well, I don't know, but there's still
hopefully
plenty.
Hopefully a few more.
Absolutely. Yeah. the company said it will be adding another 6 months to the timeline which vendors will be allowed to offer the legacy operating system with new systems. Which is funny because I think everyone's just still choosing XP at the moment. Like, how wrong could they be?
And then the idiots come out and talk about Windows 7. And it's like, okay, well, forget Vista altogether.
We'll call Absolutely. It Vista ME and
exactly.
just move on.
Yeah. But so they've already come out and admitted that Vista's no good. We've got something better coming. But they still expect you to take Vista.
Yes. Well, anyway, Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, had cut off the sales of XP to the manufacturers earlier this year. But Microsoft had allowed some vendors to ship copies of XPs as a downgrade.
Yeah, there's a loophole.
As a downgrade. Really? I don't have any machines in my office that run Vista. Did you, Graham? You're in the trade a bit. How many people running Vista compared to XP?
Not very many. I know a couple of people who've taken the plunge, a couple of customers who've gone that way, and they wish they hadn't. And currently, everybody who's buying notebooks is buying the ones that have got the XP downgrade available and all that sort of stuff. So
some of the big banks,
yeah, we're still able to get the OEM for the desktop machines as well.
I think it was Westpac were one of the early adopters because they were still running NT4 in places and stuff like that. And they said, right, we're going to do a huge leap and move everything to Vista.
And they didn't notice any difference,
well,
right?
I haven't spoke to them since. I don't know how they're going with it. I'm pretty sure
they're off the network, aren't they?
Because I did lots of features on it. I love it when the new operating system comes out and make a fortune. Everybody wants stories about it. But I think it was Westpac did a huge rollout. So I don't know if they how it worked out for them.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens there. I think XP is going to be with us for many moons to come.
More than 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, broadband in this country, I mentioned briefly in our opening this evening, that's still unknown of. And I know Lydia goes off at me saying, stop talking about broadband. Well, unfortunately tonight, Telstra has told Prime Minister Rudd that high-speed broadband must be the first cab off the rank. Telstra's Group Managing Director of Public Policy and Communications, David Quilty. He's the replacement Phil Burgess Bull Terrier, isn't he?
I think so.
The new Phil, yes. Claimed that the national broadband network was crucial for Australia's future economic productivity and it must be fast-tracked for the nation's risks of falling behind with critical economic...
Irony's not lost in this lot. They're the reason why we don't have it.
It's funny, isn't it?
No, it's not funny. It's sad.
That's what I mean.
It would be funny if there weren't 20 million people suffering because of it.
I was talking to a colleague the other night, and I think I've said on this show that if you look at the ABC and what they've done as being part of a government-run organisation and the leaps and bounds in technology, that's the Australian Broadcasting Commission here in Australia for our international listeners. They're our government broadcaster. Is it commission or corporation?
It was commissioned about 100 years ago.
I was in on the ABC the other day. I gave away an iPod. Hello to my South Australian listeners, all of you out there listening at the moment. But the ABC are very forthright in what they develop, and iView, which is a video streaming on demand system here in Australia.
On-demand television works really well.
It's fantastic. It's the first one of its kind that I've seen that actually works.
Love it for watching Hello Men.
Yes, that's what I used it for too. I missed a Hollow Man, and even on the 46-inch Bravia, it was watchable. I mean, you could tell you're watching off the internet, but when you miss the episode, you don't
care.
It was pretty good. And on a computer like a 13-14-inch screen, I don't know where they get this rubbish about high definition. It's not high definition, but it's very good. It's very watchable.
I think iView somewhere between VHS and DVD. And
I agree, it's
in that sort of realm of very watchable type sort of stuff. And as Adam says, if you miss it, then it's easy to watch. But if you take the approach from what the ABC have done and apply it to what Telstra could have done, then I think, yes, it's very upsetting. It's very, well, we could be in a better space than what we are today. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McCollum. We've got JD, Graham Callaghan, Adam Turner, and Lydia Davis has joined us live all the way over. We've only lost her once, but she might still be there this evening. So... what else has been happening in the world? The iPhone is starting to bring up fuel prices applications to Australia. Now, JD, have you, I don't know, from your sick bed, have you been doing much web surfing and checking out all this sort of things?
Well, I have. I haven't seen that particular application. There's quite a few Australian apps out. There's a fantastic Bureau of Meteorology
application. Yeah, I've got it on my phone. I bought it yesterday.
Yep, a couple of dollars, and you get the radar view, absolutely everything. It looks fantastic. Mm. Except that I don't have mine web-enabled, so it's a bit hard when I
maybe I should get an iPhone. Should I get an iPhone?
Oh, I love them. I think it's fantastic.
We'll talk about it later. There's a lot of things it doesn't do.
Oh, good. Talk about it later. Ooh, secret men's techie business.
No, I don't want to bore people for 20 minutes on what's wrong with the iPhone. I'm sure they already know.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe. All right, we might take a break, and we'll come back with more after this.
You're listening.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
If you listen to Tech Talk Radio live, you've probably wondered why you can't chat with the panellists in real time. Surely such technology exists. Well, now it does. chat.techtalkradio.com.au. By popular demand, you can now chat real time with panellists and other Tech Talk enthusiasts. All you need is a web browser, an internet connection, and a comfy chair. Monday nights at 8 p.m, go to chat.techtalkradio.com.au.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew McComb. You're listening to our 200th show, and joining us this evening is Graham Callaghan going, yay, in the background.
JD's
here.
Welcome. And those cupcakes were wonderful.
Weren't they?
I had one during that break. It was really good.
They are just the best cupcakes. And unfortunately, poor old Lyd in the other side of the world, she's just thinking about them.
The virtual
cupcakes.
I thought
you were sending them over.
We could. We could send you one over.
See? I'll box it up. See? And send
they've
it across.
Got the really good little chalky bits down the bottom, and they get sticky on your finger. You know, it's that type of chocolate. They're really yummy. Anyway, hey, listen, you've been up to interesting. You made the mainstream press the other day, telling Telstra how to do Twitter. That was a pretty good achievement, I would have thought, Miss Lid.
I did, as a matter of fact. It wasn't deliberate. I was just reacting to something I saw them doing and on Twitter, and I didn't really like. And they were saying, you know, here we are, and we're fantastic, and we're the first company in Australia, and we're a large corporation doing this social media thing. And I thought, you're not doing this social media thing just because you say you're doing this social media thing. And so I went on and had a bit of a whinge. But as it turned out,
we read your blog. It was a good whinge.
Did you read it?
I did. It was very informative. I actually learned a lot about Twitter just by reading your blog.
Thank you. Your blog is very important to us. Please send us an email.
Yeah, you got one of the three canned messages about it. Please click here and fill out our form. Not good on Twitter, huh?
Yeah, it was. That was all it was. It was just the same old stuff. And the other thing they did, which I didn't like, was they put the big R, you know.
The big R, the Telstra company, registered trademark.
The big R, and they took that off, which was nice. The other thing I was saying to them, you know, we don't know who we're talking to. That's the whole point of social media. And you're saying we're talking to Telstra Big Pond, you know, so we don't want to say, hi, Big Pond team. And they did. They put names up of the staff that are monitoring the Twitter feed, which was really cool. They haven't changed very much in terms of what they're Twittering, because what they're doing is they're basically saying, we're here on Twitter, so we can answer you instantly. The minute you have a problem, send me a tweet and I will respond to you. And when someone does send them a tweet saying, hey, this is not working for me, their first reaction is, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Can you please go here? And they give them a link to the customer service page where you have to fill in a form. And one particular person that I spoke with, she had tweeted them. They sent her to this page. She filled out the form, got through the whole process, only to find out she has to send it in by snail mail anyway.
Oh, so, really?
Snail
mail.
And I thought, you know, so after all that, you're on Twitter, you send them from Twitter to another site where they have to fill out a form, and then from there, once the form is filled out and they've processed the thing, they tell you, okay, well, now you have to do it as a hard copy. So I just
defeats the purpose of social networking, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I don't think everyone needs to use Twitter, and I don't think everyone or every corporation needs to get involved with social media. And if they do get involved, they don't need to have a conversation. You know, that whole big thing about join the conversation, you know, that just drives me nuts. You know, you don't have to join the conversation to be part of social media. There's all other things you can do where you don't have to talk to anyone, but you can still be involved. So I think, you know, I was really rapt to see Telstra doing something, but I just didn't like the fact that they were doing it all wrong.
Now, later, after you posted in your blog, another news article came to light which said Telstra hit back at claims its Big Pond Twitter support feed is bot-like, arguing that personalising the messages would contravene the Spam Act. Hello? Spam Act?
Yeah.
Personalising messages? Don't they send spam out every day to everyone or their mobile phone users in the forms of SMSs and things like that? Like, they've... To me, the Spam Act is once someone consents to, you know, exchange information between one another, the Spam Act no longer applies.
No, spam's unwanted email as opposed to wanted email.
So. Well, yeah, that's very true, isn't it, JD? Exactly right. So what'd you take of that?
Well, I suppose when you're signing up with Telstra in the first place, you're saying to them, yes, I accept that you're going to send me communication. Now, communication, be it, you know, via the post or email or mobile phone or Twitter, it really doesn't matter. It's communication, and that's what they're saying. You know, we're going to send you this stuff. So I don't see what the big deal is. I just think it's a way of them right now to hide behind something before they can work out what they're going to do. And I think they jumped into this too quick without thinking about it. Someone said to them, hey, this is a good idea. And they went, yeah, we want to be able to say we're the first Australian company. And they just didn't think about it. So that's my take on the whole thing.
The forum's going beautifully, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Guys are saying Twitter spam and all that sort of stuff. So Telstra Twitter bot. So I don't know whether their foray into this type of social networking has really hit the mark for them, say the least.
As Lid said, it's just a mechanism for saying we're the first rather than actually delivering a useful product.
Yes. And is that the right reason to get involved in social networking? Probably not.
Wouldn't have thought so.
No. Other people could probably do it a little bit better. Another interesting article which graced the desk this week is Sol Trujillo. He was on one of his junkets somewhere in the world. And basically he, in London actually, to be precise, at a Financial Times conference. Making Transformations Work was the name of the conference. And Mr. Trujillo described the transformation as a work in progress. This is the transformation of Telstra. But said it had already proven its success by delivering world-leading performances. So basically, Sol's taking the gong for turning Telstra into the incredibly successful, thriving, high-tech company that Australia currently is enjoying from its primary telco. You're all speechless. What do you think? Is this good, or are you just holding back? Because
he's taking responsibility for the current state of Telstra.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, as well.
Okay, good. Moving on then. That's what we. That's yes, hard hitting stuff there from Sol.
Without going into an insane rant, I think everybody knows how we feel.
Yes. Anyway, fibre to the node, bring it on. A fibre to the household, even better. That'd be great.
Mm. Yep.
Now, the other thing we're going to talk about tonight, too, is we're mentioning about iPhones and things like that. One of the other interesting devices, which I might throw at JD and hopefully not catch him on the hop, is that the Flash player has been confirmed for the iPhone. I didn't know you couldn't do Flash on an iPhone. Is this the case?
You can't at the moment. There's talks about Adobe writing an application. There's lots of rumours around it.
But isn't it, excuse my ignorance here, isn't it OS X and Flash works on OS X, but it's not that simple?
It's not quite that simple, no. It's got to be recompiled for the processor concerned.
It's also a question of wanting to limit what people can watch.
Well, there's that, and how do you... charge people for it and so forth.
You shouldn't be watching that. You should be buying stuff from the iTunes.
Oh, charge people for it.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be watching that. You
they don't want
buying
you to take
things from
free
the iTunes
stuff off the web. Is that
when
why
you
they're...
could be paying for stuff at the iTunes store.
Okay.
I like Flash Video. Bring it on. It works well.
And I guess
can
at the
I
end
just
of...
ask?
Yeah?
Did they confirm it or did they just say we're actively developing and it's still got to be, you know, confirmed by Steve, baby?
I'm just checking out on that. Whether Flash is on the iPhone would be a good thing or not is debatable. Obviously, some of the advertisers would like you to be able to see their ads. Some Flash animations are resource hungry, and that's potentially one of the reasons why they're not. But I think that's just fog.
Yeah. See, this is the difference between the Google phone and the iPhone, is the Google phone doesn't rely on the papal blessing from Steve Baby before it can do anything.
Neither does the iPhone if you jailbreak it.
Well, yeah, but exactly. That's the point. You've got to hack the bejesus out of it before you can do anything with it.
Jailbreak. I love that term. Mm. It sounds almost sinister, really, doesn't it? Freedom for your iPhone. Let it free.
That's right.
Jailbreak it. You know, see pictures of Elvis Presley in there with his little
pay
phone.
Somebody else for your applications. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And how's the gossip also during the course of the week that Apple are going to take their bat and ball with their...
And close iTunes.
And with their iTunes and say, thanks, we're not going to offer that anymore.
Don't think that's very likely somehow.
Oh, you got to love that.
Yeah, well, yeah, the guys at Cupertino really are sort of like showing, I don't know, some form of level of arrogance, I guess, there in that sort of... statement, but yeah, yes. And the other thing too in relation to Apple is the thumb drive hack for the new little, what is it, the Mini Mac or whatever it is like that. I think you were talking about it, Adam, recently. A new thumb drive unlocks Apple's TV box and opens it up for innovative social network features.
That's been around for a little while.
Yeah, I haven't spoken about that before, but things like that have been around for a while. It's like we were saying before, it can do all kinds of things if you hack it. And then it's good for Apple because then they don't have to support the feature.
Yes. So Flash is one thing for the iPhone, and hacking their little media Mini Mac is another feature.
Oh, there's lots of things for the iPhone that aren't approved that are just fantastic.
Such as?
Well, I've got a IntelliScreen, which is an application that allows you to change the splash screen. So when you turn your phone on or you've woken it from sleep, normally you just get the Apple logo, the time, and if there's a recent prompt, like there's a meeting or you've missed a phone call, that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
But with IntelliScreen, you can actually get it to dump, for example, the weather for the next week, your upcoming meetings for the rest of the day or the rest of the week.
That sounds like a useful birthdays. Application.
Yeah. Except,
and aren't you allowed to run that normally?
Because it breaks Apple's GUI interface design rules.
Oh, really?
They won't allow you to use it. So you have to jailbreak and download it separately. It's a great application, though.
Not wanting to talk up the iPhone or anything, one of the apps I did see today on it was the way that handles text messages with Threads. I thought that was really quite cute.
Excellent, isn't it? Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, normally you get an SMS and or a text message on your phone, and it just sort of like bumps down in the queue. But strangely enough, the Apple GUI actually sticks it all together, so you can see what's been said in previous. So
it'll thread it against a phone number, or it'll thread it against a contact. So if I've got three different phone numbers for Andrew McCollum, it'll actually thread all of Andrew's messages in
that's
one.
Clever.
Yeah,
that's nice. I think that's one of the really good things about it. Others could probably take a bit of notice on that. Now, Graham, you were saying something about Tasmania before too, which you wanted to have a quick chat about.
Oh, yes. There's a press release came out of the, health department in Tasmania. Mental Health Week. They've come up with a Stop Cyberbullying campaign.
Oh, yeah.
And they're encouraging victims of bullying to have a canned response that they can put back on the MySpace page or whatever it might happen to be.
Okay, so if someone's cyber-bullied through one of those, is that what you're sort of talking about?
Yep.
Your bullying is valuable to us.
Something along those lines. The idea is that if they have this, bullying no way campaign, they've got their logo, they've got the slogans, if they can get the majority of the kids to get on board with spreading that word around, then they can use that to block the flow of the exchange and just sort of send that as a canned response and then walk away. So
it's a bit like the Just Say No campaign.
Something like that, yeah.
A standard response that everyone's using, it becomes trendy and cool and people will use it.
That's the general idea.
Mm. Yeah, and they, right.
Well,
look, you got to give it a go, don't you?
Yeah. I was never that cool, but I was cool enough to know that stuff doesn't work.
Well, yeah, I know they've got other ideas on their site too. If you want to have a look at what they're doing, that's www.bullyingnoway.com.au, and you can see what they're talking about.
Very good. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb, Graham Callaghan, JD, and Adam Turner in, and of course Lydia Davis joins us from the United States. He's taking photographs.
Everyone can see it.
Oh, you're going to put it up. Everyone can see. We'll take a break, and I'll come back, and I'll tell you exactly what he's talking about over on the other side of the couch there.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio. Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October, 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school, how can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking of the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
It goes.
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And welcome back. The clunks and bangs you hear is Lydia over there in the United States. We're back on the radio now, Lyd.
And us rushing back to our chairs.
Yeah, everyone rushing back to the chairs and the likes. Yes, this is the 200th edition of Tech Talk Radio and coming to you live from fairly cool and brisk Melbourne this evening. It's Antarctica is back here with us with a vengeance. And obviously nice and warm in California, I would have thought. But anyway, Lyd's done the right thing. She's 2 o'clock in the morning over there and she's staying up for us. How's the election side of things kicking in over there, Lyd? Have you any technology in elections apart from the fact that her emails got hacked? Anything else interesting, or has it all been pretty boring now and you're into the final straits of an American election?
I don't know how they do it. I'd go insane. I don't want to know what they're doing. The only reason I watch like the vice presidential debate was because it's fun. It's funny to watch. So
see who fell over first.
It's humor. It's comedy. Is it? Is that how you treat it over there?
I do, but do you know what's really funny? They've got to make – they've basically got to go out there and beg people to vote because you don't have to. So,
I think one of the problems they have is when the results come in for the Eastern Seaboard, everyone on the Western Seaboard decides that it's already over so they don't bother to vote.
Ah.
That's what I've heard.
Is that right? The time zone across the continent means that whoever wins based on who's first in. That's a bit
sad,
but,
I mean, it's the same as in Australia. You know, you get to choose out of, you know – two nuff-nuffs, really?
Pretty much.
Okay, welcome.
It's a good South Park episode like that.
Absolutely. Oh, dear. So you're not missing politics at all by the sounds of it. Anyway, we probably
should. Less, sorry. Yeah,
good, exactly. Speaking of politics, apparently Ballmer, who's Microsoft's top cocky over there at the moment, Microsoft will soon release Windows Cloud operating system. This is going to be interesting, isn't it? Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer revealed a few details last week on a forthcoming operating system that will help developers write internet-based applications. Is this like just the horse has already bolted for Microsoft?
Oh. So this is Microsoft me-tooing Google, I think.
I think so, very much.
Badly.
And like,
yeah, as usual.
Has anyone got a Mesh account yet? Has anyone tried Microsoft's Mesh?
No, I don't think so.
We spoke to, and I can't think of his first name, I think it was Harvey Sanchez from Microsoft Australia not too long back about the Mesh, and even in press releases, apparently it's supposed to be available for Australian users. But I tried about 2 weeks ago and still couldn't get any access to it. And here they are, you know, beating it up with an operating system now. Like, from the makers of Visto, you now get Windows Cloud OS.
Exactly. Have it crash somewhere else.
Now, when I read that, what I thought was, hey, wouldn't that be cool? You turn on your terminal and you decide which operating system I'm going to run today based on the network.
Yeah.
So I log in and say, I want Microsoft operating system today. And it downloads it for you.
But don't you think that it's a bit odd that he's going to come out there and say, hey, you know, because it sounds like a big deal, them doing this, but he's going to come out there and just say, oh, yeah, we'll have it out there in a couple of weeks. Because he gave like a four-week timeline, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's how they cobbled together Vista, wasn't it? It was a couple of weeks.
But he was so casual about it, and it's almost like, well,
it must be ready to go if you're going to announce it now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Within a month, Microsoft will unveil what Ballmer calls Windows Cloud, the OS, which will likely have a different name, is intended for developers writing cloud computing applications. Yeah, well, there's no promises there, is there? They're just saying they're going to bring out another OS. Cloud computing is a term often applied to programs that are presented in web browsers, which basically means all your data is kept not on your machine. It's the old LAN thing, the old local area networks where you used to have a dumb terminal.
A ping client.
And all your stuff was kept on the server.
Anyway. That was the way to do it. It was moving everything out to the desktop that screwed everything up.
And now we're going full circle and heading back to what we now call a cloud. And everyone's got one.
Now that there's bandwidth to do that. I mean, the problem with the ThinNet clients was you couldn't get enough bandwidth to put the graphic user interface down the pipe.
Oh, yeah.
But now you can.
Yeah.
So
this is old school. Mm.
And the other good thing about that is that everything talks the one language, assumingly HTML, to the cloud. So, which has got to be, I think, good for programming and Java and all that sort of stuff, all those things. Mm. Anyway.
It will suck.
Will it?
They will do it so badly.
Yes. Anyway, how's Mobile Me going, Graham? You found another icon in your control panel yet?
I love that. I should have put that down as one of my highlights.
What does it do?
That was very funny.
There.
We caught him off guard that night. That was just like, what? What's
I was really
there?
Shocked by that. Yeah. No, it's still there. I'm still ignoring it.
Haven't you uninstalled it yet?
No.
I uninstalled it all. It's trying to foist Bonjour back onto me again at the moment. I'm saying, yes. No, go away.
Mm.
This is the Apple updates and things like that. What's the latest iTunes? What are you up to now?
8.01, I think.
And it's all iPhone related, isn't it? There's nothing else new, apart from the fact that there's movies now in Australia or something.
Oh, yeah, that's been out for a while. Yeah. It's got this genius feature, which tells you songs you could buy from the iTunes store that you don't have.
Oh, good.
Woo.
Genius, yes.
Yeah. The genius is the guy who thought of it. Yeah, let's sell even more stuff.
The ACCC, speaking of interesting things this week, dodgy deals. The ACCC cracking down on our telcos because our telcos love to hide a lot of interesting things in the fine print, especially when it comes to bundles of mobiles and broadband and home phones and telephony. They like to say, they use the words unlimited, and there's probably anything which has a limit on it is not unlimited, yet they'll come along and say that it's
unlimited to
have
this
you guys
cap.
Talked about wireless fusion recently?
No, but I feel a rant coming on.
In a minute.
Let's talk about wireless fusion. Oh, okay, no, we'll talk about this first. Australia's competition regulator has announced it's taking 28 parties, including telcos, to the federal court for exclusive dealing and misleading conduct. Surprise, surprise. The ACCC and Consumer Commission said in a statement that they were clear communications. Access Telecommunications, WorldTel, and National Telecoms Group, just to name a few. But basically, they've all been alleged in the bundling of offerings of telephony products, which just haven't been disclosed to the consumer fully, which in this day and age is... really not on, especially when
okay.
It's...
Okay, so this is the thing, like, we'll give you cheap internet if you sign up for our phone service, but they don't tell you that the phone service is really expensive.
Yeah, the difference is between, let's say, for example, Telstra or Optus, who bundle things. Now, I'm not sort of saying they're right or they're wrong in this statement, but they have fine prints where you get 5% if you do this and 10% if you do that and 15% if you do this, and you bundle it all up and you get an overall percentage off your bill.
15% off a really high base price.
Yeah, they're not giving away the full information.
That's
And things like, the things that irk me, they go, unlimited mobile phone calls or unlimited calls, and you find that you ring a 1-300 number and you charge $20.
Yep.
You know, it's just...
they're an exclusion.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like premium SMSs because no one really tells you that a 1-9 SMS number is any different to a telephone mobile SMS service, but it's things like that that they're obviously not disclosing, and of course people go and ring a 1-800 number on a mobile and find that they're being charged the same price that you would
And of course, almost every single ISP now does this. They've all got deals with reselling phone services and mobile phone services and everything else. So it's not just the big ones that do this anymore. Everybody's into all these bundles. It's really, frustrating.
So anyway, buyer beware out there. And this is where I reckon, you know, you look at the poor consumer at the moment, and they'd be going, what do I do? What do I do? Like even today I was speaking to a colleague who's not technically, as au fait with things as we are. And she's chosen different companies for different reasons. And you just cringe and you think, oh my goodness, misinformed consumers, they just haven't read it. But anyway, what can you do?
Maybe
hopefully this is what the ACCC are trying to do.
Maybe there should be an Australian standard for how to define the pricing of internet plans and phone plans so that you can compare A to B.
Absolutely. Anyway, we'll hear the recommendations going in front of the federal court in the next week or so with the ACCC. Now,
I'm pretty sure the ACCC are also going to start cracking down on them for selling services that aren't actually proper services. Optus has been selling something called Wireless Fusion, which gives you your home phone and your internet access all over the mobile broadband network. They had to stop selling it because it's so bad. The quality is so bad. The dropouts.
Were they made to stop selling it, or
they chose to stop selling it?
Oh, that's a worry.
Because it's so terrible. Now, Virgin sells something called Broadband at Home using the Optus network. It's even worse, yet they still have the gall to sell it, even though it's so terrible. To ring the help, the Virgin Mobile Broadband at Home, you can only make phone calls for 90 minutes and then it drops out. That's part of the making sure they don't use up too much of the network.
Oh, really?
You've got to be on hold for more than 90 minutes to get through to the help desk.
Oh, no.
It is terrible. Have a look on Whirlpool. Put it into Google. You'll find Whirlpool talking about it. You'll find me talking about it on the Sydney Morning Herald. And you'll find Dan Warne talking about it on APC. And it sucks.
But
and they still sell it. And these people are getting sucked in and then having to go to the TIO, whatever, to try and get out of these terrible contracts for a service that does not work.
How long are the contracts they sign you up for?
2 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Ow.
I really just find that... How can someone sell a product that doesn't work? And that's what it comes down to, because when someone says you get your home phone bundled, you assume it's like a copper-cabled home phone. But that's not the case, is it?
No, they're selling voice over IP that's, on a service that hasn't got the bandwidth to deal with it, presumably.
And then selling iPhones with 5 gig a month on the same network and then wondering why they don't have the capacity. They're writing checks that their network cannot cash.
Yeah, yep.
What do they call them? The tarps, tarpoos or something. Anyway, the amount of
but
money
the
they get per
call. But the ACCC is going to step in and say, you cannot do this. If you can't provide a certain quality of service, you've got to give your people the money.
And so
back.
They should. Hey,
Liv, they will.
What's it like in the States when it comes to bundling and stuff like that? Do you find some of the telcos are giving consumers a runaround, or is it just we're lucky here in Australia?
I think you're really lucky there. I honestly do. We've had all sorts of problems in terms of connections when we first got here. You remember that, don't you?
It took you weeks, if not months, to get your internet sorted and your phone connected. I remember, yeah.
Yeah. And now, I mean, you know, we have to go through two companies, one to get the mobile access, cell phones, and, you know, cell phones here's the thing. We're in Palo Alto, and Palo Alto people don't like having these big, you know, towers around the place. So we have no reception here, basically. When someone rings me, you know, it automatically almost always goes to voicemail. So that's a problem. You know, wireless is sort of pointless if you're in Palo Alto and guess where I live and rarely leave.
But we've seen all those things on the telly where Google have got little wireless antennas on top of traffic lights out front of their offices and things. It's not like that. Is it Camelot?
The next suburb up, Mountain View, where Google are, you know, is completely covered. It's free wireless. You know, everything's free wireless. Everything's perfect. But we're not there. We're here. Maybe we should move there. Actually, it's cheaper to live there too. Thank you. Very good idea.
But, stick with us. You'll go places. It'll cost you a lot of money.
We'll send you the bill.
But you know, at the moment. Yeah, well, at the moment we're with Comcast for home phone, internet, and cable, and you don't get anything flash, and that's like $100 a month, and then you're paying the same for your mobile phone. So,
but aren't Comcast reducing you to a measly 250 gig a month?
Yeah.
How do you survive on that?
That's a lot of lost in high def, isn't it?
Do you know what people are cranky about?
What?
It's the fact that they've never had any sort of cutoff point, and now they're saying this is what we're doing. I don't think it's going to matter right now, but at some point when people are using, you know, because, you know, you guys don't have Hulu there, do you?
Hulu? No. What's Hulu?
Not likely.
I haven't even heard of it.
What Hulu. Hulu's a site that offers television programs over the internet. The next day you can watch pretty much anything you've seen on TV for free.
Well, that wouldn't happen here.
Proxy.
Yeah, well, I actually sent you guys the hack, so you can watch it in Australia.
Oh, really?
You weren't watching your email, you slacko. No. Yes.
Thank you.
So
talk about that off air. Yes.
You can't use it outside of the United States, but, you know, obviously there are hacks. But the nice thing about that is, you know, you're watching this all the time. However, with this cap now, you know, when people start using, you know, the internet for, you know, video a lot more, it will. I think they're just getting ready for the future. It's not right now, but certainly.
Do you find there's lots of video on demand services over there for television? Obviously, Hulu's one. Is there any others? Like, what are the video libraries doing? Like, you'd have Blockbuster there. I remember Pamela Anderson doing ads for it when I was there.
Yeah, don't even talk to me about video here. It's a disaster because you know. Well, in Australia, you go to a video shop. I remember doing this, going to a video shop and getting 10 videos for $10 for a week, you know, that, you know, not the brand new ones, but you could still do that, go home, or, you know, 10 DVDs for $10 for whatever it was. You get these deals. Here, you're paying $7 to get the show, whatever it is, for a night, unless you do it. So you really have to go on the internet now. It's just ridiculous, the cost for video to watch new releases. So
that's what I didn't like about the Apple TV service. They still want to charge me $5 overnight for a Ghostbusters that's 20 years old, where I could
well,
go down to the video shop. But I could
get
down to the video shop and get $5
get for a week,
five movies
five
for
movies
$10 for
yeah.
a week.
And I think that's where it's going to end up too. You're going to find that as things move online, maybe they're going to up the price for those sort of things. Then you've got to look at bandwidth. But anyway, that's another story. So what else? Any other? You know, how do you find your mobiles over there? I think you were saying to me the other day that you can move 2 foot over there and your cell phone will just drop out. So we shouldn't be complaining here in Australia?
I'm sorry, I was reading the chat room, so I forgot.
We were just laughing
at what you said.
Typhonies just said on the chat, how can Lid respond so quickly by phone when she's talking yesterday?
I know. I'm just amazing. Did you not know?
It's always yesterday in America.
Oh, goodness. I was just asking you, Lid, about your mobile phones and stuff. Are the call dropouts? Because even Phil Burgess, who's the outgoing Telstra marketing guru, bull terrier, said in a statement, I think it was one of the luncheons he went to before he went back to Florida, that he reckons the mobile phones here are the best in the world purely because that you can actually move and they don't drop out.
She's never been to my house.
They are.
They are?
They really, really are. You know, I thought that was standard when we came here.
What, that it drops out?
That it doesn't, because I didn't have the problem in Australia that I do have here. Here, you know, like I said before, the phone call doesn't even come in. You suddenly realise that you've missed a call and it's been sitting next to you for the last hour and a half. It just doesn't even get here, and when you're speaking, absolutely, it just drops out. So it didn't happen so much in Australia. So,
well, there you go. So we have got something that's a bit better, except
you've got a lot of good stuff there. Trust me.
Good. All right, we might take a break, and we've got a special guest coming in after this, part of the 200th celebration. Allegedly, he's on his way. So you can stay tuned for all of that and more, I guess. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is our 200th edition. I'm Andrew McCollum. We will nearly have a full contingency after the break, and we're going to give away a Maxtor hard drive, which I have the full spare, so it's 250 gig. Lib was right. I think she said it was not quite as big as I originally touted, but nonetheless, 250 gig goes a long way these days.
You're listening.
TikTok. Any questions? You're all speechless over this.
No, listening.
You're listening. And you've got the world's most aggressive spam filter.
TikTok. You're listening.
If you've got the wrong SIM card, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
TikTok radio. Talk radio.
We may have digressed.
The network's probably ready for fiber to the node now.
Telstra has lost the ACCC court case.
They download loss because they can't stand watching it on commercial television.
You're listening to TikTok radio.
You are indeed the 250th episode of 250th. That's the size of the drive we're going on. The 200th episode of Tech Talk Radio. We put the drive in the wash and it shrunk a little bit, and we're going to be giving away a 250 gig. Oh, let me go to the email and I can read it directly from that. The hard drive, Maxtor OneTouch 4 Mini, PC and Mac compatible, USB 2 interfaces, 250 gigabytes. And what are we going to do? The best comment on the forum tonight, on the chat. Is that what the general consensus is?
I think that sounds like a fair way to do it.
As voted by the panel of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 of us, potentially, very shortly,
best
5 of us.
Best comment on the chat.
Okay, that's going to be good. All right.
I better log in and have a look.
So you better get in there and have a look. We have been watching it. That's chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Come along and enter in there. There's a plethora of users in there this evening, and any one of you now is very, very valid and potentially the candidate for the drive coming up shortly. Now, joining us this evening is Lydia Davis. She's our US correspondent. She stayed up till it's 3:30 in the morning over there at the moment. Now, that's dedication for you. Hollywood sues Real Networks over DVD copying software. Here we go again. How can a manufacturer be held, or should I say a software writer, be held capable of breaching copyright when only the end user that can do it? Six Hollywood studios have filed a legal suit against Real Networks for releasing Real DVD, which allows users to copy commercial DVDs. Paramount, 20th Century Fox, Universal, Warners, Columbia and Walt Disney, along with Sony, of course, are suing the company and seeking an injunction to stop a further sale of the software. Yes, that's a bit ordinary, isn't it? It's just the person.
It's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
It's basically what?
It's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. If you walk down the street and look at someone who once copied a DVD, you can be arrested. Basically, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Pretty much. That's what it would
be. And the laws here aren't any better.
So. We're almost the free trade agreement means we got all the bad bits of their laws, but none of the good bits.
Yep.
That's just
now,
particular.
Can I just ask, are they the same people that made Real Player, the one that was
one can only assume
badware?
Yeah, Real Player. Go easy if you put that on your PC, let me tell you, and probably your Mac. It probably
but
goes on
the Mac
too. But
aren't they the same people that made it?
I guess so. I Real Networks, so. They're one and the same as far as I was aware.
I think so.
Why?
Yeah, so
why
you would they? One, well, you know, they were labelled badware by stopbadware.org, and they're a fairly decent organisation. They were putting ads everywhere. So now you've got to wonder with their new product, what are they up to?
Why would they be dumb enough to bring this product out? What made them possibly think they could get away with it? Look what they.
No, I don't know.
Look what happened to all the other ones online, like DVD Shrink and all DVD X or whatever, X Copy, whatever it was. Whenever anything's come out like this, even underground, they have stomped on it. So what made these guys think they'd get away with it? Stupid.
Especially at a commercial level, I guess, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the DVD shrinks all
those.
Why
don't they just put a sign out the front that says, sue me? Seriously, it's crazy.
Dear, Real Networks knows its product violates the law and undermines the hard-won trust that has been growing between America's movie makers and technology community. And they will defend their rights to stop companies from bringing products to the market that mislead consumers and clearly violate the laws. So, yes, wanting...
But hang on.
Yeah?
Can you go back a bit? Don't they say that they will only allow all the information to be copied as is so that you can't copy it to more than 5 places? Or something like that.
No.
So
they
that's 5 more copies than the studios want you to make.
Exactly.
It's not the point.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't the studios now allowing that you make personal copies?
Not here. Not in Australia. You don't have the right to. I don't know about other countries.
Okay.
It's fair use. I know what you're talking about. The thing is, yeah, you've got a fair use right to make a backup of a product. But under the mm-hmm. Digital Millennium Copyright Act, you do not have the right to circumvent copyright protection technology. So you can back it up, you're just not allowed to break the encryption.
Warlocks. But they're not. That's what they're saying, Adam.
They must be.
They're actually... Well, they're saying they're not. They're saying they're copying that.
They're copying the encryption as well.
That's
so they're making
saying.
A bit-level copy
that's,
of
that's
it.
What's their that's what their argument is.
Real DVD.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to say, but they must be idiots if they think they'll get away with it.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But still, that's what they're saying, and you'd like to see it. That's why you've got to wonder about, you know, who are these people having done two dumb things in not so long a period of time.
Yes, and the forum are talking about things like Handbrake and Mac the Ripper on the Mac and DVD Fab. These are all for PC. These are all DVD ripping software, but I don't think any of them are really all that commercial because you get stomped on.
Yes.
Big time.
There's also a lot of applications that actually sort of debunk the myth, and I'm trying to put this in a manner which is probably understandable. You can load a little application onto your machine, which means that it removes any zone-related information, you know, how DVD has zone.
Free. Yeah, yeah.
And what that means is you
region
can...
Region-free.
Yeah, region-free. You can actually pop in a Zone 1 or Region 1, which is an American DVD, into an Australian recorder, because I think everyone's been asked that question the first time you buy a new computer, be it Mac, be it PC, be it anything, and you pop a disc in and it says, we don't know what zone you're in. You've got 5 opportunities to change this if you want.
Yeah. Buy any DVD.
Yes.
Software called AnyDVD or AnyDVD HD.
And I think that's part of the way of allowing you to replicate things unofficially, because then they just say, well, if your DVD is not protected, then it'll replicate it. So there's lots of those sort of combinations.
Any DVD will break the encryption and rip your DVD to your hard drive.
Yeah, so there you go. They're getting around it differently.
I think it's based in the Cayman Islands or something.
Oh.
For a very good reason.
Yeah, very good. All right, so yes, interesting news there from Hollywood. I think they're going after everyone. But I think also, too, that you've got to take a look at what's happening with MP3 music and audio in general on the internet. Maybe the movies need to follow suit. They're probably 5 years behind.
They'll figure it out eventually.
Yes, figure it out eventually. Let's talk a little bit about computers and stuff like that again at the moment. Foldable computer screens are coming along very soon. Now, we've seen these things as part of our gadgets and websites of the week in the course of times where you can get screens and roll them up and keyboards and things like that sort of technology.
People have been promising this for the last 20 years. I still haven't seen this. This is like electronic paper that works like... Works and feels like paper.
Pretty much. Researchers from the New Journal of Physics reveals that could possibly be the future of television and computer screen technology.
Yeah. We get one of these every 6 months for the last 20 years.
Okay, so I'll put it away then.
Show me one.
I've got one of them, but it's right once only. I bought it today in the newsagents for $1.30.
Oh, dear. Anyway, well, there you go. We'll just add fuel to the fire and say that it's coming very shortly. But
yeah, show us one, though.
It'd be really nice to have something like that.
It'd be fantastic.
Polyurethane-y type. I mean, you've seen all the prototype pictures and stuff in the course of...
Yeah, just make it work.
Then you could have a small computer with a big screen because you open it up and then fold the screen out. It would rock.
Yep.
You wouldn't want to crease it, though. Creasing would be bad. You bend some pixels. That could only be bad, surely.
I've seen notebooks that people have tried to do that with. It never works.
Yes, I can imagine. They know nice being nice and flat and things like that. Other interesting news this week, security giants failed the virus bulletin test. Some of the biggest names in the security industry have failed the virus bulletin 100 test. The test is a collection of malware and active samples, and they put them up against a number of major security suites. And in this case, they did it for the Windows Server 2008. Only 16 of the 24 products pitted against the test passed, while 8 fell short owing to missed malware samples or false positive returns.
And you're not allowed to take the test twice. That's part of the thing.
You can't look at its learning abilities along the way.
No, that you can't then take your product and say, okay, we'll fix it and can we resubmit it? I'm pretty sure with this one you only get one shot.
Well, so they should too, when you think about it, because you only get one go in the real world, don't you, when a virus or something comes into your mailbox. Most of the major vendors, including McAfee's, Symantec, Microsoft, Sophos, were able to pass the test. However, several others, including F-Secure, Kaspersky, and Computer Associates, fell short of the certification.
OneCare failed it, I think, when it first came out. That was a big thing. Whatever the Microsoft one is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Didn't you do something about OneCare once upon a time, Lid? Says he, looking over his computer.
Uh-oh.
Where's Dr. Ron?
Oh,
he's on the way.
He's travelling. He'll be here just in time for the close of the show. Did you do something about OneCare? You were talking about OneCare at one point in time. Have you used that?
Yeah, I gave it to you.
Oh, was it any good? Because I haven't used it. Any good?
I spoke to Microsoft and they gave me all this information about OneCare.
I remember the interview, but have you used it?
Well, no, I haven't, because they give me this stuff for free and I feel guilty using it, so it's sitting in a cupboard and it doesn't do anything.
Let me introduce you to Adam over here.
he's see my printing. Face right now. Oh, no,
absolutely.
Why? Why?
I've got a whole box of stuff that I use for free. That's what I do.
I know.
It's my job to test all this.
You've got
to
review things, Liv. You've got to review things.
You've got to use it for a long period of time so you get to know it really well. But also, it costs you a fortune to have all this stuff to be able to test everything out. So if every now and then you get something that you can use because then it will make other things testing easier, well, that's a little bonus.
One of the cool things that apparently it does is it, you know, lets you hook up all your computers through OneCare and then you can use the one printer and it's all done wirelessly throughout your house. I like that. You know, so there's a whole heap of cool stuff it does apparently. I haven't seen it do it.
But you don't need Microsoft spyware on your computer to do that.
Sorry?
You don't need Microsoft's junkware on your computer to do that, though.
Yeah,
that's
just their
way of trying to sweeten the deal. Sorry, go.
No, sorry. I just thought it was a cute thing. And, that you know, there's apparently did a whole heap of stuff. I sent it to Andrew. You should pull it up sometimes. Listen to it.
I have. I've listened to it. We'll run it one day very soon.
Yeah, radio. But it'll be too late and it would have passed. And
what, OneCare? No. Their operating systems will kick in a bit longer yet. Don't worry about it.
XP's going for another 6 months.
I'm listening to Adam, actually. Warlock.
Sorry, what was
I
that?
I think he's right. Warlock said, Lid is a girl and they have a conscience. And I thought, well, no, I think Adam's right because I feel really sick of having all this stuff in the cupboard and not using it. So,
or give it to your friends. I say to all my friends, never buy software without talking to me first. Never buy a USB stick without talking to me first. I got a bag full of the things.
I know. I get them. The same thing. You get a whole heap and then you think, okay, your kids use them then.
Yeah, give them to your friends. Every press release comes on a USB stick these days. It's ridiculous.
They do.
Yeah.
And then Lid sends them over to us, saying, here, I don't know what to do with these. Oh, my goodness. All right. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The voice you hear is Lydia Davis from the United States. She's in California as we speak. And
Live via the interwebs.
Yes, exactly. It's amazing, this technology thingy. It's going to take off one day, don't you reckon?
It will.
Anyway, we'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with more, I think, hopefully, a little bit more in the not-too-distant future with the website gadget and odd spot of the week. And remember, if you want the 250-gig hard drive that we have up for grabs, all you have to do is come up and log into our chat.techtalkradio.com.au, and the best entry in the chat room this evening, and there's been some pearlers, let me tell you, will win the prize. If you're listening to us in your headphones down the track in the podcast, well, sorry. the joys of interacting with us live, because we got the technology, we may as well use it. Anyway, take a break, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Mars got invaded from Earth today.
Not doing anything wrong, got nothing to worry about.
Probably a reasonable outcome.
Is that not a fair call?
Damn iTunes. Damn it to hell, I say.
If you're driving along, don't text while you're driving. It's bad for your health.
So if you want social media traffic, you have to consider the audience.
They embed an image in it that's got a unique number as its name.
Entertaining.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Informative.
Do not switch off your brain.
Independent.
People are blogging about it already.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Bit of common sense, people, please.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, look, we're running out of time on our 250th anniversary show thing.
200.
I've got problems.
Read the cupcake.
Can I have another one? They're really nice. Who made these cupcakes? They should be sold on eBay for... Maybe that's the last one. We should put it up on eBay. Anyway, you shouldn't talk with a mouthful, ladies and gentlemen.
$100 easy for one of these. It's really
absolutely
good.
And I'm just waiting for him to finish his mouthful over there.
I should never talk with your mouthful.
No, absolutely. I remember you in a lovely suit with a green tie. You didn't have to dress like that for us, Dr. Ron.
Now, I put my clock back for daylight savings an hour, and I've come up here 15 minutes early, and the show's... I can't believe you started without me. The show's nearly over. Have I put the clock the wrong way?
Absolutely. We're going to throw the rest of the show over to you so you can do the Oddspot Gadget website all by yourself.
All by Fantastic.
Yourself. Yeah, good.
Well, this week on TikTok, right? So what's been happening? I've just missed everything, haven't I?
Look, you know, you'll have to catch the podcast. You can't win, though, because no correspondence will be entered into. But we're going to give away that hard drive, which has shrunk a bit.
Yeah, I was meaning to talk to you about the 20 meg hard drive.
The 20 meg hard drive.
Yes.
Dear, we'll be announcing that in approximately 15 minutes at the end of the program.
Hey, is Eyelid with us tonight too?
Eyelid? iVirtual? Eyelid? Yeah, no, she's here. You can talk to her.
Eyelid? Yeah, I've already said hi.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
Not so bad. How are you?
Good, good. We should just take this offline. We haven't caught up for ages. It's like a big party, isn't it? Everybody's here.
We've got 15 minutes, then we continue on after the show. Yeah, this is our 200 show.
200.
I'll get it right. We've got 50 shows to go. So this time next year, we'll be doing 250.
I think the hard disk's 250 gig.
I know, all these numbers
are confused. 200. Mm.
Yeah, I'll just check my cake.
Hi,
JD. 200.
Hiya, Dr. Ron. How are you?
Good. How
are
you doing?
Good.
This is amazing.
Well, everyone's together again. That's good. We've got a full contingency here on the show.
Getting the band back together.
Oh, God. So both types of music, eh?
Yeah.
All right. What's been a highlight for you, Dr. Ron? You weren't here when we talked about this because your daylight saving clock. What's been the highlight of the Tech Talk Radio story so far?
The saga.
Yeah.
What's been the highlight? Seeing the show grow from just you and me in a little... tin pot little studio up the road somewhere in an old bedroom in an old house to evolving into such a big production, I suppose, like it is now with so many panelists, so many regular contributors, the number of stations that we're going out on, the following that we have. It's amazing.
Yeah, Brett DeHoot has described it as the most over-engineered tech radio show he's ever heard.
I think he described it as the most over-engineered radio show full stop, and that's probably quite close to the mark. And Brett would know too if anyone was going to know.
Yes, Brett DeHoot is a long-time friend of the Tech Talk Radio family.
And worked in radio for many years.
Well, yes, he has. Mm. He's been on Melbourne radio in particular over a lot of time. So that's a pretty of a compliment coming from him. But nonetheless, so you reckon, just the evolution of the program
just
over
the evolution.
Time.
It's been amazing to watch. And
you've spoken to a lot of people too in the course of the years too, haven't you?
Lots of guests in the studio live. We've done a lot of interviews. We've done the little taking it to the street segments.
Oh, yeah, we should do a few more of those, shouldn't we?
Yeah, doing vox pops and... and that type of stuff. It's been great.
It gets in the way of our day jobs too, in a lot of respects.
Now, the day jobs get in the way of tech talk, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so late tonight. That's terrible, isn't it? It's a crying shame, but at the end of the day, we still have to pay the bills.
It's very true.
It happens to all of us.
Have you seen any... you haven't had to browse through the tech talk chat room, and Lid made a valid point before too, saying that you don't have to register in a chat room. You can just come up, just go chat.techtalkradio.com.au.
We don't ask you for your email address. We don't ask you for your real name.
Just put your name in and come on up and have a chat and log in. And if you say something really funny, like there's been a few pearlers there this evening, you might win a hard drive and maybe even a coffee cup if Dr. Ron's feeling generous.
If I'm feeling generous.
Wazza wants, left.
Wazza wants to know where my late note is. I'll have to give him a late note. It's in my back pocket. I've got it here.
I'm on the wrong tab. I should come back to the other one. So what else? Anything interesting happening in your tech world in the last couple of days?
Tech world.
You did the news for us this evening, the IT sort of side of things.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's funny when we record the news because we have to wait until the end of the week before we look at what's actually made the mainstream news and the IT news.
Since the last show.
The last show. And then we bung it all together. But by the time I've actually recorded it and got it ready to go...
There's new news.
There's often new news, yes.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? That's what happens in this world. Adam will be a testament to that.
Yes, yeah, so I was just thinking, this is a very familiar story.
You can publish, and as soon as you get published, you go, oh, damn, it's obsolete already.
Yeah, but try writing for a newspaper section where it's trying to be a weekly news section, but you've got to go to print 6 or 7 days beforehand sometimes.
That'd be very difficult to manage.
That's why our coffee table tabloid radio show that we are, well, not tabloid, hopefully informative. We did get an email from a listener during the course of the week who I did respond back to. He said, thanks for the information and fiction. I didn't quite know how to take that. Did you see that email come through?
No, the information and
the information, entertainment and fiction. And I thought, oh, that's very good. So.
Oh, there's a lot of fiction involved in the program. It's entertaining, if not informative or educational, I suppose.
Well, some people don't always let the lack of knowledge stop them from expressing an opinion.
Oh, that's an edict to which I've always subscribed, Adam, absolutely.
Oh dear, where do we go after that? So anyway, yes, we've got a competition which is drawing rapidly to a close. We're going to go to our last break this evening before we come back with the Gadget website and Oddspot. Lyd's given us a website of the week, although she's too shy to come up and tell us about it. But nonetheless, we'll take that very shortly. And yes, come up, chat.techtalkradio.com.au, your last minute comments before we move on from show 250 on to...
200.
Oh.
Read the cupcake. Did you eat
I haven't eaten it yet. It's sitting here. Read the cupcake. It's a bit like tea leaves, isn't
These
it?
These cupcakes are sensational. Yeah.
Maybe that's what the problem.
Explain to everybody what they are.
What's in the cupcake?
You've got a zero cupcake.
Oh, I have. I've eaten the 20.
They are freshly baked chocolate cupcakes. They were still warm when they got
cupcakes.
Here.
Cupcakes. They're great. And they've got 200 in icing on the top.
Yes.
Is there one left? We'll take a photo and we'll whack it up.
I think there's one already up there.
Yeah. Oh, you're way ahead of me. You're miles ahead of me.
Absolutely. Just set your clock forward a bit and you'll be right, Dr. Ron.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am listening.
Residual powers. And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
I understand your fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Phil Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometers.
Don't open
per
things that are good that you're not expecting, even if they do a thing like that.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio, the very end of show 200. I'll get it right now because I'm not giving the boys $250, as was suggested by the chat forum people. We got
that was a great suggestion.
Is it? Okay, well, if your pockets are that deep, well, you're a Mac owner. You've probably come used to spending copious quantities of money on your computing needs.
I'm a retro Mac user, though.
Oh, yes, you are, aren't you? Yeah. The Apple Orchard and stuff
no
like
webcam.
That.
No webcam, no.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool. This thing is amazing.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Son of my own. I'd like to talk to you about my Sony Gadget of the Week, or the Tech Talk Radio Gadget of the Week, which is one of the new Sony Bravia television sets, which has been released to the world. Adam went up to Sydney a week or 2 weeks ago and saw them. And these are the new guys, and I reckon they're absolutely fantastic. 40 inches of LCD magic, which will cost you a considerable amount of money. But it basically has this new DLNA, which is the Digital Living Room Network Alliance technology built into it, which came out the other day. Now, that's Sony's proprietary name for all this sort of stuff. I'm sure the others will do the same thing as well, but I reckon that's got to be a terrific option for having something wired or wireless in your living room, which means that you just turn the telly on and it finds your media source on your computer, on your network, pulls your pictures in, pulls your videos in, and heaven forbid, lets you stream things offline at the same time. It's got to be good, doesn't
it? Pretty good.
It?
So you have a Cat 5 cable plugged into the back of the television?
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
All wireless, yeah. Adam, are you going to get one of these? I know you're a fan of this sort of technology.
Oh, well, I've already got a Sony Bravia, but I've got an
You can get an option for it, I think, can't you? I was reading one of the tech journals.
They do have them overseas. I'm not sure exactly how they connect up to the television and if I could get one. I might look into it. But I'm getting one of these new Bravias on loan to play with anyway.
Are you?
But not to keep. But I own an old school Bravia.
How do you give those back? That'd be very hard.
Not when you've got another one coming.
Oh, okay. Is that how it works? Very good. All right, so there you go. That's what I reckon the Tech Talk Radio Gadget of the Week is. If you're looking for a television set, don't buy anything until you can get one which at least allows you to surf online and do all that sort of stuff and connect things wirelessly to your network.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
Now, we did have a Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week, and unfortunately, the person who was going to tell us all about the Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week has disconnected. Lydia, you might have heard some Skype sounds before. You might have heard some Skype sounds, but she has unfortunately moved. Oh, we can't get it back. I think it must be the great US connections that happen to be over there. But anyway, the website that she was going to tell us all about was the new, is it the mobile, what is it? I can't read it from here. Just talk amongst yourselves. Let me pull the laptop a bit closer. The, it's very heavy, isn't it?
You nearly did a foofa valve then.
I nearly
you
did, didn't I?
Reached all the way across the studio and, yeah.
It's a new T-Mobile device, and it's a mode. I've got to read this out to you. T-Mobile.modeandemand.com/HTC/G1.
What does this enable you to do?
That's the Google phone. This will show you the Google phone with the Android on there, and you can fiddle around with it and swiggle around with it and three-dimensional it.
Have a look at the back of it.
So it's an interactive
It, no, it doesn't. It doesn't actually function as a phone or run the applications. It lets you look at the phone from all angles,
so you can spin it around, spin it up and down.
See, like the Don, Doctor. What do I call you?
You called me
Doctor Don.
I think you called me Rock the Don.
I'm That's having
his
real
porn name.
That's no, no, no. My porn name's Mr. Gareth.
Okay, moving on.
It's the name of your first pet, oh, look, and then the name keyboard. Of the first street you lived in. Yeah.
You finished?
You started it.
I didn't start it.
No, I started it. Okay, move on, move on.
All right, so there you go, the Tech Talk Radio website of the week. It's the G1, the Google phone. You're going to have a bit of a look at it, which is tmobile.modeanddemand.com/HTC/G1.
There is a fine line between genius and madness. Shoot.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, the odds. We finally made it there before we have our announcement of our winner competition. I couldn't resist this one. Southern Californian officials have said they are paving over a strip of road grooved by car maker to play the William Tell Overture when vehicles drive over it at 88 kilometres per hour. Neighbours complain the road music is high-pitched drone that keeps them awake at night.
That's funny.
There you go.
That's what they put
the William Tell Overture by the little, what, speed bumpy things in your road.
How does it go?
I think that's it.
Oh,
so the little rumble strip things that they test, and they put down different types of paint and on the road to test the durability of the paint, I think, and the road markings. They put them in strips.
That's the wrong song.
Oh, is it?
Which one's the William Tell?
William Tell Overture. You should know this.
Is
that the one? Is that the one? Oh, very good. Hey, Lydia, you with us? Are you with us? Lydia.
I am.
Oh, you're back.
Hey, Lyd.
Hey. The game's up. They know you're coming in on Skype. You're not really in the studio with us.
Have you got the website ready?
Who?
You. Oh.
I think it's
what? Sort of tight. Hello. Well rehearsed and tightly polished show.
Oh, look, if anything, welcome to our 150th show tonight. Yeah, excellent. Hey, because of our show, we've got a minute or so to go before the next guys come in. Who is the winner? Okay. Adam's doing this.
We've got honourable mentions go to Warlock and also to Kai Phoney, particularly for Kai Phoney's wondering why we can hear Lyd now when she's in yesterday.
Who abused me about getting on the wrong train as well? Someone had a go at me about that. They struck them out.
The winner would have to be Wazza, who, when Dr. Ron wasn't here, suspected that Dr. Ron is swapping out that 250 gig hard drive for a 20 meg one. You can't hear him opening the case. So that is the best comment of the night. Okay. And that is the winner of the 200.
What can I say? Wazza, caught red-handed.
Wazza, send us an email with your email address and contact details, and we'll get that off to you and all that sort of stuff. And don't anyone pretend to be Wazza, because we know.
We'll know.
We'll know. Okay. All right. Thank you to Mrs. Adam for doing the cakes. That's been absolutely fantastic. You know who you are. Thank you to everyone who's been part of this show over the past 250 eps.
200.
Read the cake.
Ka-ching, oh, free money.
Ka-ching. What are you laughing at over there in California? Goodness me.
She's getting 250 bucks as well. I can't get this right.
Absolutely. Anyway, we've had enough practice. We might do a real one next week. What do you think? You have to tune in for episode 201. Next week, same, yes, wherever you might happen to be. It's been fantastic. Thank you, Dr. Ron, for appearing too. That's very kind
and
of you.
And my clock has to go forward 2 hours now, and then I'll be in reality.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right.
You make it next week.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but we'll see how we go.
Thank you, Linesman. Thank you, Ball Boys. Till next week, you've been listening to Tech Talk Radio. Show how many?
200.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panelists Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA, and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.